Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Erlene and Lisa are joining us today to talk about Stephen King's latest book, If It Bleeds. How did you guys feel about it?
Hi, I'm Erlene. I prefer his novellas lately over his full novels, and If It Bleeds is a book of four different stories.
Okay.
I enjoyed three of them. I loved two, and the other one was, okay. But I actually really enjoyed it because it was nice to read something where he got to the point quickly, next story. And it finished really well, all of them did.
Hi, this is Lisa, and I agree with her. There was only one story on there that I was really confused. And that story, it was in three parts. Mm-hmm. It was like when he was sick, I guess when he was older. Then it jumped to like his middle age in his 20s. Then it goes to when he's a child. So it was just three different parts. And it's like it never connected for me, you know? Mm-hmm. The very first story, you know, I was like, okay, this is Stephen King. Oh, my goodness. You know, he did his thing. Mm-hmm. And then when I read the second one, I was just like, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, the four stories. That. Yeah.
Was it the same one that both of you didn't like? The
yes,
second one?
Actually.
Yes, actually. Oh. It's the same story. And then, of course, he redeemed himself with Holly.
So you have four stories. Yeah. You have Mr. Harrigan's Phone, The Life of Chuck, If It Bleeds, and then Rat.
Okay.
So the first one, Mr. Harrigan's Phone, we both really enjoyed because it's his classic. You have a young kid in there, an older person,
technology.
A relationship, technology. That story is very tech 2000s and everything's happening. Phones, email.
.com,
trading, finally being able to do stocks and bonds online, all that type of stuff. So you have this young guy whose dad works for this gentleman, he's a billionaire, has to be, in a small town. He befriends him, and they have this real interesting dynamic where he just loves this old man. This old man is like a millionaire, but doesn't have any tech savviness at all about himself. In the book, you see them building the relationship, and then he passes away, and he leaves the young man money for school, basically, like, to take care of himself. But before that, the little boy, he's like a teenager, buys him his first cell phone.
It's an iPhone.
iPhone. Yeah. He's like, what is this? I can do stocks on here. It was
so cool.
Well,
first he didn't want it.
Right.
He never wanted anything high tech, anything. He was good with just a rotary phone, and he was happy with that. Until the kid was like, let me try this. He shows them, look what you can do. And he's like, wait a minute, how did you do that? You know, because he would get like the Wall Street Journal, wherever the stocks were. Mm-hmm. He would get it every day. And he was like, but wait, today's this day, and how come I have it now? And he was freaking out. He's like, okay, maybe I will keep the phone. Because he loved it.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is he actually owned tech companies. Like he had investments in tech companies, but wasn't tech savvy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. But that story number one is a true ghost story in the sense. It's marketed as a horror, the whole entire book, but it's not really a horror in my opinion. It's that classic ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gives him the phone, and though they text and call each other, whatever, but he goes and sees this gentleman every day, even as he's in high school and then college. He died when he's in high school, right?
Yeah.
He leaves him money, and...
But real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
When he was little, the man every birthday would give him a scratch-off ticket.
That's right.
And so I was like, I already like this guy because I love scratch-off tickets.
Yeah.
And so the little boy wins some money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the older gentleman, he's like, let me invest it for you. Let's do that. You know, so he had his ways with him to help him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had that bond.
He won some money. He invested. Dad's like, okay, he could have given you more. Because the man's a millionaire. He gave him a $5 scratch off every holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He may win $3 or $4. He won like $3,000 on that one.
Yeah.
And he was like, I want to buy him something. He bought him the phone. He helps him invest it. He actually gains money with this investment. And they have their own unique dynamic. But he passes away and leaves a big chunk of money to this young man. And he's like, I don't know about all of this and whatever. So when he passes away, though, the young man takes the phone back from the old gentleman. At the funeral, he puts it back in the coffin for him.
Yeah, he tells his dad, can I go tell him bye without anybody here? And the dad's like, yeah, of course, because he knew they had a bond.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the coffin and he did it because he kind of wanted, I guess, to be still be close to him. Mm-hmm. So he sticks the phone in his pocket, mm-hmm. and they close him up, and like, I guess they...
But before that, he found him passed away in his home. Because he said, go check on him every day.
Oh, yeah.
So he found him, and he took the phone, and he helped him set up his voicemail and all that on the phone. So when he did pass away, he put the phone back into the coffin. Pause. This is a young man who didn't really have a lot of friends, been made fun of and bullied. And so when the gentleman passes away, he would still call his phone just to hear his voice. I know you're not here. Aww. I just want to hear your voice. And so he would start calling his phone just to vent. He said, I know the battery won't last long, but I just want to hear your voice. So he'll call him every night. And something happens. It had to be when he was in high school and it happened. This young man.
Yeah, he was being bullied.
He was being bullied. Someone. And he was like telling him about it on the voicemail. And the man, he's in the ground. He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah. He's gone. And he just vents to him on the voice, and I know you can't hear me, whatever. And he vents, and then hours later, he gets a text message on his phone from Mr. Harrigan's phone.
And it's basically just like
letters, like, and some kind of code. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, what?
Yeah. And he was like, who has his phone? What's going on? Well, come to find out, the young man who bullied him ended up getting killed. And so he was like, oh my God, what happened? What happened? Fast forward a few years later, he calls and vents, and the phone is still working, mind you. The battery should be dead.
Right, right.
And he gets that text. Again, that wah.
He calls him every once in a while, just venting, and whoever he complained about again.
Something happened.
One of his favorite teachers passed away in a car accident.
They were on a motorcycle.
Motorcycle. Her and her husband.
Driver that always gets off because he has money. Mm-hmm. Always gets off, and never gets in trouble, goes into rehab. And so when they all went to the funeral, one of the kids was like, yeah, he just got like another hit on the hand and, you know, mm-hmm. go to rehab. And so he was so upset from what happened with the first one. He was basically like, hey, take care of this. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, something
got a
happened.
Real death note situation.
You know?
He loved that teacher. She was the one in school that kind of
helped him when
he had a crush on her, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she was the one who helped him, encouraged him to just do better and be better. And so when she got killed, it really hurt him. But the interesting thing about it, and if tell me if you caught this, Lisa, was you can tell Mr. Harrigan didn't want to reap vengeance, but it was almost like, you're telling me these things.
But at that point, the first one, you know, he was venting that he got bullied, he got beat up, you know, and he was mm-hmm. just hurt. This one with the teacher, he was like, hey, I want you to take care of this. It's pretty much what he did.
Yeah.
Because he had that, like, okay, something is happening.
Yeah.
So at that point, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. Didn't he dream about him? Or he came to him in some kind of way? Something happened. But you can tell that Mr. Harrigan, he would go to the grave, try to hear the phone. Of course, you can't hear it that many feet deep.
Right.
But it was still working. But I think eventually he stopped calling the phone or something. But you can tell it, in the dialogue, that they had this bond. He was protective over this young man, and he's still protecting him if you make that wish. If you make this wish, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like he just wanted to reap vengeance. It was almost like, do you know what you're asking for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in one of their conversations, it was almost the type of, what you ask for and what you reap what you sow type of thing they had when they were alive. And it was kind of showing him, you be careful what you're asking for, because I'm going to... He always provided for the young man.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, he provided needs and wants. Like, this is a good investment. This is what you need to do. So it was a real neat dynamic.
And towards the end, the kid kind of got that feeling like, okay, I need to stop doing this. Mm-hmm. I need to just let it go. Let him rest in peace. I need to be with peace, you know, mm-hmm. at peace. So... yeah, it was a really good story. It made you wonder, can that really happen? You know, it's just like when he texts back is what got me.
Yeah,
so
it was good.
What did you dislike so much about the second story? Because I think it's very interesting that both of you...
Well, the second story, like I said, it was like in three parts. Mm-hmm. Now, the beginning of it, it kind of freaked me out because there was parts where this glowy face would show up everywhere. And things were happening in the world at the time where, mm-hmm. you know, the ground was caving.
Well, it was
in.
It was like a whole tech. It's told backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hearing about the destruction of the world first, and then it goes into those three parts. And it plays into, the whole book has a theme of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is very tech heavy. Like, he's using all these terms like, okay, Stephen, I got it. You know tech. But with this one, it was a global tech breakdown, almost like Terminator.
What we predicted Y2K would?
Yes. Yeah, something like that. And it's a play on aging. It's a play on aging and death, if it makes any sense. It's making you fear aging because of how it's told in the story. But what I don't understand is you have two men. One seems like a sociopath, and one's just grieving the death of his wife, was it? Or something like that?
Yeah, he was the grandma, so they were claiming that the house was haunted, you know? So it was just three different parts that, for me, it didn't coincide. Yeah. For me, it didn't. And mm-hmm. I was just like, hold up, wait a minute. I had to go back. And I'm like, okay, let me listen, because I listened to it. So let me listen to this first part. And I was like, okay. And that's what I was saying when his face started showing up places. I was like, ooh, creepy. Okay. then it just went, you know, into another story. Pretty much when he was in his younger age and how he used to love to dance. And he was just, and then it went into his childhood. And it was just too much for me. At that point, I was like, look, Stephen.
I read reviews on it, and some people either loved story number two or they disliked it.
Okay.
It, to me, out of all the four stories, this one was very disjointed. He tries to be very, like, the first one is life and death.
Yeah.
And this one is about age. It went into talking about this character, okay, young, and what he enjoyed and how he's aging and how the world is just, it just didn't make sense to me.
It didn't.
Like, when I read it, I forgot about it. It was not memorable for me. So mm-hmm. I was like, what are they talking about? What is this? It's classic Stephen King confusion. But to me, it didn't fit well with the creation of these four stories. Yeah. The tech part made it make sense because the world destruction, like whole Terminator type of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Pretty much.
But other than that, I didn't feel any connection to it. So I have very little to say about story number two.
So you said the first one was not really horror. Were any of the short stories or any of the novellas true horror?
Maybe If It Bleeds.
If It Bleeds.
It's a sequel to Outsider.
Okay.
So, you know, with Holly. And I love Holly. Yeah. And the way she talks. She's just awesome, you know. And after that second story, once I got into the third story, I'm like, yes. Thank you. I didn't want to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and basically, like Erlene said, is it a sequel?
Yeah. It's a sequel to The Outsider.
And what happened in that book. So I guess if you listen to this and you haven't read The Outsider, you're going to get pieces and parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely read The Outsider first.
Book number two, if you read 11/20/2263, how mm-hmm. it was written in three parts, that's how that one is.
Okay.
If It Bleeds plays into The Outsider with her tracking down this criminal who's almost like a shifter, like a...
The face shifter?
Yeah. What is it when your body shifts so you can change your look? What do they call that in sci-fi?
I think there's a few different
shape-shifting?
Like, shape-shifting.
Shape-shifting. Changeling. So this is a person that she's just doing a regular old case. She's still running the Finders Keepers. And she's noticing this person on the news who he's like causing crimes to report on them. So he's being the first responder person on the crime as a reporter. He's always there, but she noticed he looked different in one report and another report, but it's the same person. Like, the aging is different. Something's not right.
Yeah.
And she looks into him and realizes the same person over decades
that's been doing these stories,
he's always there. And it goes right into, if you read The Outsider, her hunting down this person who is able to take on someone else's personality and look and commit these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
He finds out she's on to him, and you have Jerome and his sister. So it's Holly, Jerome, and his sister, of course, in there. And one of the cops from The Outsider is in there again, who's, I think he's smitten on Holly, actually. But it plays into that again. It's all about her hunting down this person. It's a small little snippet into Holly years later after The Outsider, hunting down this criminal who's ship-shifting throughout the decades, killing people, causing destruction, either explosions or car crashes or train crashes.
Plane crashes.
And he's reporting on it and feeding off of their fear.
Okay.
So he's feeding off of their fear.
Trying to get the Pulitzer Prize?
Yeah. He's feeding off of their fear.
He feeds off their fear. And she actually meets somebody that kind of knows the same thing. And he's a real old guy. And he's actually showing her all this footage from back in the day. And she's like, oh my God, that's him. He might have a mole or just something different. She goes, but that's him. He's the one that's reporting.
Something in his eyes or whatever it was, she knew it was the same person.
So she ends up getting in touch with him and telling him, hey, I know what you're doing. And he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I know what you're doing.
She got
like
very
not
bold.
The right way to to approach the subject.
So he's like, what do you want? At the time, she has to figure something out to not be, you know,
Mm-hmm. And also in this, you meet her sister again, her uncle who loved them dearly, who was in, had to be put into a nursing home. Her mom.
And her uncle.
And he had to be put into a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And there's one part in the book where, oh yeah, her mom, and you can see how she kind of broke Holly down. You didn't get that in Finders Keepers or Outsider. Okay. But at some point in time in the book, I feel that this criminal, this shapeshifter, took over one of the orderlies or her uncle's body in the nursing home, but it wasn't really explained.
Yeah.
Because Stephen King's really good at putting something in a book and not explaining to you what it means.
When one of the ladies was about to fall, right?
Okay. And he just rushed, because this person's really strong, really fast, really quick, and her uncle is feeble, he's slow, and he's in this nursing home and someone almost falls and he runs and helps her.
He saves her before she really gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if the uncle was taken over by him at some point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this story. Yeah. We're all over the place. I'm sorry. But I loved it.
Good.
I loved it. I really, really did love this one.
How about the very last story?
Okay, let me tell you about
the last
one. I have a rat phobia, and the last story is called Rat. And I was like, come on, really? So I was like, okay, just listen to it. So it's this rat that talks, you know, and I'm like, do I really want to hear this? So this guy is writing a story. So he goes up to his cabin to write this story. And mm-hmm. there's a big storm. And the wife had told him, hey, come home. There's a big storm. And he's like, no. I got to take care of this. And her, in her mind, she tells him, what's more important, the family or the book? You know, and he really doesn't say anything. And she's like, okay, I see what's more important, whatever. So he ends up staying. And there's this big storm and there's this rat that's hurt, you know, and it's in bad shape, you know, and I thought, okay, just kill it and get it over with. You wouldn't have to worry about the rat.
That'd be a real short story,
yeah,
Lisa.
So he decides to save it and puts it by the fire and this and that. And then at that point, he falls asleep, he wakes up and the rat's just sitting there and say, hey, you know, what's up, you know? And the guy's like, hold up, wait, why are you talking?
Is there a reason he saves it? Because I don't think that's a normal reaction for most people, just because,
well,
it, generally in nature, it is nicer to put them out of their misery.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. He wanted to do that, but then he just, like, looked in its eyes and
saw little tiny human eyes.
And I guess the rat was trying to tell him, don't kill me, save me.
You know how Stephen King, and he has many stories where there's a character with writer's block. We've seen it in many of it.
Oh,
Shining,
yeah.
Other stuff. And this is a play on another classic type of story. I can't remember what it is, but I remember reading Full Dark, No Stars. That one's a novella of books. There's a story in there called Fair Extension that odd character had no remorse for anything. This one had a lot of remorse. Writer's block was the theme again, but the other one had no remorse for anything. But this guy was really torn and just really pulled into this rat that I couldn't even rock with. I'm like, sir, it's a rat.
Yeah.
And it's talking to you. So you need to go home to your wife and leave the book alone because you're going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it really reminded me of that.
The rat pretty much tells him, if you want to finish this book, we could finish this book.
But
yeah.
Someone has to die.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sit back with a ciggy in his hand.
Yeah.
You
want to
finish this book, sir? I got the formula for you.
There's a price to pay.
And clearly, he's like, really?
Like the adult Stuart Little or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like Stuart Little Noir.
Yeah, yeah.
But the crazy part about it is, of course, the rat really didn't talk. It was just his mind in the house that they lived in. It was the dad's house.
Dad's house. Yeah.
So he would go up there to do his writing. Anyways, he goes through boxes and he finds a doll that's a rat, which belonged to his daughter, you know, and he's like trying to pinpoint, like, is this who was talking, you know? So it's just crazy.
It's a great story of obsession and your mind fracturing.
Yeah.
You know, disappointment within yourself. You're not able to provide for a family. You're not being a great husband right now. You're not being a great dad.
Full shining.
Full shining, you know. Yeah.
I'm so bad at this thing that I love that I'm just going to go insane rather than
full shining. And he has to do that at some point in time in stories where you have this man who's blocked from something or tortured. I'm surprised there wasn't a kid in there, but yes, his daughter's okay. He has a kid in everything he does, but it's full shining. It's full on shining.
But I like that during the time he's actually writing his story and you get to hear or read what the story's about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like cowboys.
Yeah, he kind of did that in Misery, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exacto. Yeah,
writer's block.
Even though it was about a rat.
you forgave
I
it.
Was, I was okay, as long as I didn't see pictures.
Mm-hmm. I think that the running theme with everything with Stephen King, though, of course, is age, life and death. You're questioning your aging. You're questioning, like with Thinner. Thinner, to me, was kind of a play on aging and your life. And then your life and death or youth. Something is all tied into one. But with these four stories, it was more like thriller suspense, not really horror. Mm-hmm. But you questioned yourself. Like, what would you do if you had a break and you can't do what you love to do? And technology and somebody who's there for you, would you really have them kill people for you?
And I want to say in one of the reviews, they asked him about that one. And he's like, I don't know why I even wrote this. You know?
I think that's crazy. His explanation for about 70% of his catalog. I don't know why.
All, it was a really a good book.
Yeah.
The second story, just, you know. Mm.
How do you guys think that this collection of novellas compared to some of his other novella collections?
It's just more current time. I think right now, with his son just killing it in the literary game right now, he's trying to be very upbeat and with it with some of the overly techie. Because even his other book, The Institute, it was very, the terms he was using, was like, why, you don't have to say all that.
He's trying to prove he's up with the times.
Yeah. He's trying to prove he's up with the times.
My son told me I need to use more technology in my book.
Did you read The Institute? I mean, I felt very, it felt like, come on now, you just.
Like he was holding a dictionary in one hand going, okay,
yes, this is the, you know, .com age. You know, it's just really, he's just trying to, I think, update his writing, but he's still very tied to who he is with confusion. And there's always a running theme. And I think after Mr. Mercedes, this is why you have these four stories. Because they're very suspense, horror, character driven. Because I think Mr. Mercedes was really nicely character driven stories.
By far is my favorite.
Yeah.
Mr. Mercedes trilogy. And I think I'm glad there were four stories, you know, and it wasn't just one book.
Yeah. I've for a long time felt like I really liked his novellas more.
I love them more. After reading a few of them, I prefer it. Mr. Mercedes, I liked because.
And they were also shorter than some of his other books.
Because he gets wordy and then it never ends.
He has a problem with bloat, especially like in the middle of his career where he was writing 1,000-page books like on the regular. It was ridiculous.
This was good. It's like
Would
tall
you
grass. Was
recommend
good.
It for people who aren't really fans of horror, but are maybe fans of like mystery in general, but don't really want that like full spooky horror vibe.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll
like a good intro sleep. Stephen King.
You can sleep at night reading those.
Yeah,
there you go.
Something
you're afraid
can.
Of rats. Unless you don't rats. Like rats or cell phones.
Well, then
or
no.
The
you, then
you
no.
are very anti-iPhone. This book is not for you.
Yeah, I like it. It was good. I think anyone would like it, and they'll find a story that they really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, those are all the questions I have.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for bringing another Stephen King. This one sounds like it's promising. I know our last review of The Institute was not as good. So.
You are our go-to Stephen King duo.
I apologize for
no,
that.
No, I want the reviews to be real. So.
It was trash.
And a lot of the time, you're not going to be the only person.
All right. So sorry.
We got a mini review of The Institute back in there. It was trash.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.